Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I am Sister Amara, and I will be joined by my co-host, Auntie Hava Surti, in a few minutes' time. And we're delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Well, another pumper pack program coming your way this beautiful Thursday morning, coming to you out of Lanesia, Johannesburg. Today, already the 16th of September, corresponding to the Islamic date of the 8th of Safar, and it's how time flies. We're almost coming to the end of another year, and well, it's nice and hot out there, a bit windy out there, and lots of allergies and hay fever going around. So please make sure you take your allergy and your antihistamine medication as well. Well, okay, we've got Auntie Hava on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Hava. How are you keeping?
Walaikum salam, alhamdulillah, and hope to hear the same from all the listeners out there.
Yes, sure. Well, today's topic, I'm sure most of the listeners have been looking forward to this topic. We're talking about gluten-free foods and gluten intolerance as well. And we're going to be sharing with you some useful tips on how to successfully cook and bake gluten-free. We're talking about different types of oils, lentils, flour, beans, how to cook your food gluten-free, sharing with you some lovely ideas and tips as well. And you can join the conversation. Have you tried making roti, puri, breads with gluten-free flour? And also, are you gluten intolerant? Share with us the food you prepare, how you go about preparing it as well. And recipes coming up in the program is a Portuguese chicken recipe and a guacamole mango salad recipe, courtesy of my guest that's online. Now, in the past 12 months, we have learned that a good diet is vital to good wellness. With spring in the air and the new Radio Islam presented challenge about to start soon, we have decided to spring clean our diets. Our guest today will take us through tips on gluten-free foods and why we need to understand gluten intolerance. Today we welcome Sister Safira Bismillah on the airways of Radio Islam. And Sister Safira is a qualified fashion designer. She has a diploma in fitness and nutrition as well. Assalamu alaikum, Safira. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, I'm well. I'm glad to be on the program.
Certainly a pleasure and delighted to have you on the show today. Now, Safira, what is gluten? Is it bad for everyone or just people who have gluten intolerance?
Okay, so first I'll explain what gluten is. Gluten is a protein found in your grains and wheat, barley, rice. So basically like your flour products, your cereals and your pastas, that's what we eat most of the time. This protein is what gives the flour a sticky feeling. You know, that's why your roti is pliable and that. Mm-hmm. So what happens is some people, their body cannot digest that gluten. So that's what troubles their stomach or makes them sick.
Mm. Okay, yes. Now, what foods contain gluten and what are some of the healthy alternatives to everyday items like your bread, your roti, your chips or any other common foods?
Okay, so the things that contain gluten, most of our products over the counter would be your bread, your rice, your pasta, your pastas, your cakes, right? And your roti as well. So anything with flour, some of your wheat products, your rye, your barley, so a lot of your cereals have the gluten in there. So fortunately, we are in this day and age, we have a lot of variety, lots of health stores. So you can go to a health store and you can buy over-the-counter gluten-free products. Yes. You can get gluten-free flour, which is ready for you to use. You can make your own roti, although it's very difficult to make a roti with gluten-free flour. So unfortunately, when it comes to gluten intolerance, your diet choices does become a bit difficult. But if you're wise, you can stay away from the breads and the rotis, and then you just stick to your meat and your veg, and you can still enjoy a healthy diet with a variety of food while staying away from your breads and your cakes and that. And then you do get people that make, like I said, make gluten-free products. For instance, I do make gluten-free baking products.
Okay, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, we're talking about the roti now. You know, that's actually the question I ask listeners as well. Do you make your roti with gluten-free flour the same as making roti with any other flour? Do you still put your oil in, your hot water in, or does it have to be warm water? Is it a bit of a difference?
So the difference, like I said, your normal flour that you use for roti or your other flour has gluten in it, that's why it's pliable, right? So you can roll it out nicely and it doesn't break after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you're making a gluten-free roti, you can't use that ordinary flour. So all your other ingredients, your water, salt, yeast, remains the same. But because you're using a different type of flour, now you can add in gelatin, you can even add in cheese, to give the flour that pliability. But it won't be as pliable as a normal roti.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a smaller roti, it will be maybe a little bit more stiff.
Okay.
Because it's fresh.
And I suppose if you're making that roti, can you make a brown flour gluten-free roti?
No. So your brown flour still has a gluten.
Still has. So you just need to stick to... But you don't get brown gluten-free flour.
No, so your flours that are gluten-free is your oat flour, rice flour, potato flour.
Right.
You can even mix the three all together.
Okay.
But like I said, there won't be that pliability in it. So you've got to add gelatin and cheese and egg and those kind of things to add the pliability in it.
And I suppose if you're making your roti, Safira, you need to make your roti and eat it up at the same time. You can't leave it for too long.
No, it becomes hard. As soon as you've got to make it fresh, eat it fresh. If you leave it, it becomes hard. And then it's not so tasty.
Okay. Now, why is a good nutrition important? How does it help change one's life in a whole?
Okay, so, like I tell a lot of my clients in my gym, that you're always on a diet. No matter what you're eating, you're on a diet. Right? So you have a choice between a good diet and a bad diet. So when it comes to a nutritious diet, it means you put in good things into your body, you're going to feel healthy, you're going to feel better, you're going to have energy, you're not going to get sick. And as Muslims, you know, we know that our bodies are not ours. We have to look after our bodies. We're going to be answerable for that. So that is one of the main reasons you need to look after yourself. Put in good nutrition so that you are healthy, you don't get sick, and
Mm-hmm. Now, Safira, what small cutouts could a person make to change their lifestyle, like sugar, late night snacking, and you know, I can add on so much to that, the cold drinks, the chocolates, the cakes, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell us about that.
Okay, so, you know, over the years, we've all got into that habit of snacking in between, having that Cokes and crisps and that. So you've got to really put your mind to it if you're in a habit of eating that snack. So you've got to like put your mind into a positive space and say, I'm not going to have that unhealthy snack. I'm going to choose healthy snacks. Right? So you get healthy snacks. You get your fruit, your nuts. Some people like bontong, which is okay to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have a drink in between, you can have a green tea or a fruit smoothie or veg smoothie, and don't eat the sugar. Now, the sugar is actually like a drug, right? Your body becomes addicted to it.
You crave that, you know.
Yeah, and it actually causes inflammation. It's just like a drug, like heroin, and that if you become addicted to it. So to stop sugar altogether is difficult. So if you want to stop sugar, you do it gradually.
Mm-hmm.
It's very beneficial to your body because you'll have less inflammation in your body, which means less sickness in your body. And automatically, you'll see you have more energy during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's so true what you say. You know, sugar does cause inflammation. Sometimes within you want to have maybe a chocolate, you're going to get a bit of energy. Sometimes you're spiking up your sugar, but you're not getting that nutrition as well. It's causing inflammation as well. Now, Safira, you're also in the fitness industry. When a person tells you that they don't have time in a day to exercise, what advice can you give people?
So, you know, I know we're all in this mad rush and working. Some people work a full day. They come home and they're exhausted. So, like how we make time for instance, to visit a person, or how we make time for going to the doctor, right? You make an appointment. Make an appointment with yourself.
Mm.
So say every day, at this time, I'm going to do a little bit of physical exercise. Either I'm going to go to the gym or I'm going to do it on my own. And you don't need a whole 1 hour, 2 hours if you're doing it every day. You can do a short 10-minute intense exercise and you're okay. You know, depending on your time.
Yes.
Fortunately, some people like me, we do have the time to exercise for hours. But those that don't have time, do a 10-minute, a quick exercise. Those that really don't have at all, I don't know who don't have time at all, but maybe there's somebody out there. Then when you do things like go shopping parks further away so that you can walk.
Walking is good, yes.
Mm-hmm. If there's stairs close to you, use the stairs, don't use the lift.
Mm-hmm.
Do your chores yourself. Don't always tell your children to do everything for you. Do certain things on your own so that you're always active, doing things, you're moving. And, you know, the thing is, if you're active and you're physically active and mentally active, you'll age slower.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's good for the joints as well. You know, exercise is actually good for the whole body, for your circulation, for your joints overall. Okay?
Yes.
Now, does exercises and a good diet go hand in hand? Or can a person choose what they like?
So, it does definitely go hand in hand, right? But, okay, some people, they don't have the time or the energy to exercise, but at least do the good nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So, first thing, the nutrition is very important. Right, exercise is also very important. If you take, for instance, our prophets and the Sahabas, they were always physically active. There was no retirement in their vocabulary. Right? They rode horses, they fought in wars. So they were like 60, 70 years old. We, by the time we get to 50, we're already ready to retire. So what they did was, okay, that was their physical activity, right? So there was a balance. They ate generally a healthy diet. They didn't have crisps in it in those days, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And they were physically active, and that kept them going for a long time. So we need to have that balance between our nutrition and exercise. You don't have to go extreme on either one. So even with your diet, don't go too extreme with your diet. So on the weekend, if you feel for a chocolate, have a chocolate.
You can't spoil yourself. Like you say, don't go extreme because all of a sudden you start dieting, your body goes into shock and all other ailments and things like that come up. So go gradually.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, Safira, why is finding the balance important and is it too late to start?
It's never too late. In certain cases with mild sickness, for instance, it's been proven that your nutrition can reverse a sickness.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, mild sickness, and if you're not on chronic medication, then you can reverse certain sicknesses. You've got to watch what you're eating. But it's not too late. You can be 40, 50, you can say, okay, I'm ready to change my life, and you will see a difference. Definitely you will see a difference.
Inshallah. Now, Safira, I know you're making up some lovely healthy meals and you're going to be sharing with us a lovely Portuguese chicken recipe as well as a guacamole mango salad recipe. So please share with us the Portuguese chicken recipe.
Okay, so this is a very easy recipe. I, for one, don't like complicated things. I don't like to spend too much time in the kitchen. But obviously, you want your food to be nice because I always say, don't be hungry. You don't have to be hungry to lose weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just eat the right thing. Right, so anyway, I've got my favorite Portuguese chicken. This marinade you make for one full chicken, right? So it's half a cup of organic coconut oil,
mm-hmm.
1/3 a cup of barbecue sauce, 3 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 2 tablespoons minced garlic, 1 tablespoon onion powder, 2 teaspoons fresh lemon juice, 4 teaspoons sriracha sauce, 1 teaspoon yellow mustard, 2 teaspoons salt, and you can add black pepper to taste. So you mix your marinade separately.
Mm-hmm.
You put 2/3 of it into your chicken. Then you cook your chicken on low on the stove, right?
Okay.
But it's halfway done.
Okay.
And then the balance of the marinade, once the chicken is halfway done, you put the balance of the marinade onto the chicken and you put it into the oven on grill, right?
Okay.
So it's golden brown, so you get that nice crispy outer part. And then the guacamole mango salad, it's also very easy to make. It's the juice of one lime or lemon, one mango chopped into cubes,
mm-hmm.
one avocado chopped into cubes, 100 grams cherry tomatoes cut into half, one red onion chopped into cubes, one cup coriander chopped, and then 400 grams of black beans strained. You can use a canned black beans, or if you want to do it fresh also, you know, but you just have to boil your beans, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mix all of it together, you season it with salt and pepper, and yeah, that's your Portuguese chicken with salad on the side.
Okay, lovely, lovely recipes as well. The Portuguese chicken and the local mango. So now I'm sure most of the listeners are saying, we've got all the ingredients besides the mangoes. Well, wait another week, so a couple of weeks or so, inshallah, we should be getting our ripe mangoes out as well.
Yeah.
But now we've got achar mangoes, the green mangoes are out, but not the ripe mangoes yet. So inshallah, I'm sure soon. Mm-hmm. But can you use the canned mangoes?
No, you did now all the canned fruits instead of it, soaked instead of with sugar. But what you can do is, mango is a summer fruit, right? So you, when it comes into winter, and you can change up that mango into something else. You can maybe use...
What about a pineapple?
Yes, a pineapple will be perfect.
Perfect, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. Safira, jazakallah khair for joining us on Radio Islam, sharing with us some lovely information on gluten-free, gluten intolerance, and cooking and things like that. I'm sure listeners must have really enjoyed the interview. And jazakallah, Safira, all the best to you. Jazakallah khair, assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah so much for having me.
Ameen, a pleasure indeed. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, it was Sister Safira Bismillah. She is actually a fashion designer and she also has a diploma in fitness and nutrition. So indeed, some great information coming through on gluten-free, gluten intolerance. And Auntie Hava and I, after the break, will be taking you through some useful tips on how to successfully cook and bake gluten-free. We talk about the oils, the lentils, the beans, the flour. And you can join our conversation. You can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. We'd love to hear from you. Are you gluten intolerant? What type of food do you prepare? How do you prepare it? Have you tried making roti, puri, breads, rusks with gluten-free flour? We'd love to hear from you as well. 072-786-1548. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Assalamu alaikum. Auntie Hava, and welcome back.
Walaikum salam.
Well, listeners, we're talking about gluten-free foods and gluten intolerance, and you can join the conversation. Tell us, are you gluten intolerant? What type of foods do you make? How do you go and prepare it? Tell us about your ingredients, your oil, your lentils, your flour you use. Have you tried making roti, puri, bread, baking from gluten-free flour? We'd love to hear from you. Even any of your cooking or baking questions, we'd like to answer it for you. Inshallah, we can be able to help and assist you. 072-786-1548. Okay, dear listeners, all the recipes are on the website. That's a Portuguese chicken recipe, and the guacamole mango salad is on our website. Go to radioislam.co.za. Well, Auntie Hava, a lovely topic we're talking about. Let's talk about gluten-free cooking, Auntie Hava. Are our lentils, like our dals, gluten-free?
Yes, they're all gluten-free. But before we speak about that part of it, let us just explain what gluten is all about.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It comes from the wheat grain. The endosperm and the germ is used.
Mm-hmm.
The husk is also used, but when they're making nutty wheat flour, so that is full of gluten.
Mm-hmm.
Gluten is made of the two proteins, glutenin and gliadin, and that gives it that sticky structure which is able to stretch. So when you hydrate flour, these two proteins hydrate and become sticky and they become stretchy. So that with the result that when you're baking with gluten flour, the product is able to rise and give it a good, nice texture. And those people that cannot tolerate gluten will may be having the disease called celiac.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so they will be having the disease, and then they cannot have gluten because it causes certain discomfort in the stomach. Right. And gluten is found in the wheat, which is the most common. Other grains that contain gluten are barley, rye, and spelt. I don't know what spelt is. I haven't seen it. I don't know what it is. But it is a grain that contains gluten.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When flour mixes with water, you find that the sticky network of a glue-like consistency will develop. And the more you knead the flour, the more the gluten develops. Like when they're making superfeni that mitai.
Yes.
That is pure gluten.
Okay. I never knew that, Tantiam. And it's so tasty.
It's very, very tasty. It's all the syrup.
Very tasty. It's actually amazing, you know. I really didn't know. I'm sure most of the listeners also didn't know that as well.
Mm. When you're baking and cooking with gluten-free products, most of our Indian food is gluten-free.
Yes, yes.
Besides the rotis and the puris, etc.
Because we're using different flour for it again.
Because we're using different flour. The most important thing is to read the recipe carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you measure your ingredients exactly. You can use an electronic scale if you have one. Otherwise, a good measuring cup. Your measuring skills are very important when you are reading it. And you can also use the water displacement method to measure out your ingredients.
Okay.
So it's very important, once again, that you read the recipe carefully and understand what is needed. It's not a too difficult job to break with gluten-free products, but the thing is, it is possible. And once you get used to it, then, you know, you have no problem.
I think, Antiyama, the challenge is the bread, the roti, the puri. If you get used to that, then it's fine.
Then it is
the rest is easy. Like how you said, our lentils, our dals are all gluten-free, you know?
Gluten-free,
and then maybe a slight adjustment on the flours, you know?
The flours that you can use is arrowroot, rice flour, oat flour, quinoa flakes or flour.
Yes, yes.
Millet, sorghum, tapioca, which comes from the cassava plant, buckwheat. All those flours are available. And almond meal, especially for baking.
Correct, yes. And then a listener says you can use stone ground flour to make roti ingredients. Will be the same as for normal rotis or puri. Just the flour will be different.
Oh, okay.
And then, Antiyama, let's talk about the oils, you know. I know we can adjust on oils, like the Sister Safira gave a recipe on the Portuguese chicken. She says the organic coconut oil. So if you're going to go on to gluten-free oils, I know your avocado, your coconut, your olive.
Olive oil.
Your canola, olive. Your sunflower, your olive oil, your vegetable are all gluten-free. So you won't have to do much adjustment to that.
And in gluten-free baking, they use mainly coconut oil, the organic coconut oil, and the olive oil, which is more readily available. And also, when you are baking with gluten or making a gluten-free product, you will find that the gluten-free dough will need more liquid than other conventional baking.
Okay, yes. Okay. And then a listener says that on the topic of gluten-free, what I do, my spices, I try and buy gluten-free. The Inner Palmens range has now gluten-free on the bottle. I also cook with coconut oil. The Nando sauces you'll see on the bottle, so that it is...
You've got to read the label.
Also gluten-free, so it's good to know that. And she said she tried making a gluten-free roti, but it's not a dough, it's more like a batter. She takes 1 tin coconut milk or 1 tin coconut cream, then 3/4 cup tapioca flour, 3/4 cup cassava flour. She mixes that well and fry on tawa pan like a crepe. Spray on tawa pan before, but with this, when you stack it, you have to put cling wrap in between each roti because the texture is different and will stick together. Don't put paper towel. So I'm going to repeat that again. For a gluten-free roti, remember it's not a dough. It's like a batter, the sister says. 1 tin coconut milk or 1 tin coconut cream. 3/4 cup tapioca flour. 3/4 cup cassava flour. Mix well and fry on tawa pan like a crepe. But make sure you spray your tawa before you put this mixture on. And you don't put it on, but with this, when you stick it, you have to put cling wrap in between each roti because this texture is different and will stick together. Don't put paper towel. Then she also said, when I bake, I also substitute using only cassava flour, coconut flour, and tapioca flour and coconut sugar. So it's the first I've heard of coconut sugar and java. And I'm sure
no,
from
that
you
is, no, that is on the market. I have seen it.
You have
it's
seen
a kind
it.
Of a brownish kind of sugar.
All right. Okay. It's actually on the tablet here at Radio Star. So I've taken a picture of that recipe. If anybody wants that recipe, you can WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648. I want only to eat for you after 1 o'clock today as well. So, and then we talk about, Auntie Hava, I think if you come to like meats and your fish and your poultry, that's also nice to prepare, but again, it shouldn't be coated, it shouldn't be marinated as well, and it shouldn't be breaded as well. Sorry, breaded as well.
It can be marinated, and instead of using breadcrumbs, then you would use gluten-free breadcrumbs, or you can use canola flakes
okay.
to coat the food and fry it or bake it. It's better to bake it. Fish and seafood is also quite suitable, and then, of course, fresh vegetarian foods available is also can be crumbed and baked.
Okay.
And you will find when they, making meatballs or mm-hmm. kebabs, you take a potato mm-hmm. and you grate it on a dish towel. Squeeze out the water and use a potato instead of bread or breadcrumbs in your kebab mixture.
And
that will make the kebabs gluten-free.
Oh, so so that's a good idea, Auntie Hava. Excellent idea. Okay, then another listener says, gluten intolerant due to eczema. Tried a lot of different flour, but can't stand the taste of the flour. Biscuits made with almond flour is okay. It comes out nice, she says. Stone ground flour is not gluten-free. Okay, we need to just clarify that. I omit all sources as they contain gluten. Eat mostly rice or just food alone. Spices also contain gluten, so look for alternatives like inap almonds. Find these flours and coconut sugar is very expensive.
It is very expensive.
Okay.
Can get coconut sugar at Fruit and Veg.
Okay.
And the coconut flour.
The gluten-free flour, even at your supermarket, you'll find a special aisle there. Maybe about a quarter of the aisle you find only on the gluten-free products as well. Okay, Auntie Alva, we spoke about our lentils. Most of our dals are gluten-free. What about beans, Auntie Alva?
Beans. Yeah, they are gluten-free. The canned variation, or you can get the fresh one where you soak.
All right.
And all that is gluten-free.
Okay.
So you can make a nice meal with that.
A nice meal with that. And then, is pastas gluten-free?
Pastas, you get gluten-free ones available, and you can use that to cook your pasta dishes. You even get gluten-free soya liquid. You know the soya sauce?
Mm-hmm.
You even get gluten-free soya sauce.
Okay.
So if you're making like a Chinese or a Middle Eastern dish and you need soya sauce, you can get the gluten-free one. The thing is, you've got to read the labels before you purchase your product.
Very important. This one says, allows I make a flour mix with starches included to give dough elasticity. You add flaxseed powder and psyllium husk.
Okay. Psyllium husk, yeah. So that will give it that like brown flour effect.
Okay.
And then you're using nutty wheat.
Yes, correct, yes. And then you do get gluten-free oats.
Yes, you do get gluten-free oats. That's available.
And then some people say that gluten-free foods don't keep you full. So I think it's important. Maybe you're going to eat frequently.
Smaller meals.
Smaller meals, yes, yes, yes. And I think the biggest problem is when you're gluten intolerant is the flour that we're using, you know. The flour. So you can adjust and rather have your fruits and veggies, your meat, your poultry, your fish and things like that. And then also, I think it's a good idea to cook with organic coconut oil because it doesn't have that smell either.
Yeah, it has no odor, and apart from being a bit expensive, it takes very high heat, so it will not burn.
Okay. What about cooking with coconut oil, Aunt Java?
I've tried that. It cooks very nice. The food doesn't have a different taste, but you've got to get the odorless coconut oil.
Okay, and I think it's the organic one, if I'm not
the organic one, yeah.
Okay. Then the same listener that gave the roti recipe, like a crepe recipe, says, she says she's got more recipes that I've tried and tested because her husband can't have gluten. She said, yes, sir, she tried. I tried the dumpling recipe. It's not going to taste like your normal bread, but it's very tasty. It's 1 cup cassava flour, 6 to 80 mils of coconut milk, a teaspoon of baking powder, a pinch of nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, a sprinkle of oregano, and she says mix well, then add balls to your curry for at least 15 minutes on low. It'll swell up. The gluten-free pasta I buy is a San Remo range as well. So pastas are also nice to eat also.
Mm-hmm. They're also quite nice, and they make a filling meal.
Okay. Okay, and Sister Safira says that, our guest Sister Safira is on WhatsApp now. She'd like to add a few points to us as well. So, yes, sure, Safira, you can share that with us, and I'll share it with the listeners as well. Jazakallah for that. She says the Woolworths actually have a vegetable pasta that you can actually buy as well. And then maybe Safira can actually assist us with a gluten-free, a nice salad dressing recipe as well. We can share it with the listeners as well. And then we're talking about our Indian flours, Aunt Java. Which of our Indian flours are gluten-free?
You get the chana flour or the gram flour, mm-hmm. The pea flour, potato flour, rice flour. All those are gluten-free, and they can be used in your pasta. Not in your pasta. They can be used in making your kebabs, etc.
Okay, all right. And Sabira says...
But unfortunately, you cannot make the roti, etc. with these flours.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have that sticky character.
All right. Okay, and then Sister Safira says also baking with oats flour is very nice.
Yes, it will give a certain amount of texture. And you will find that baking with oat flour, it will get a bit more rise because you are going to use baking powder.
Okay, all right, yes. And also, Aunt Java, if you're making... if you're going to be making bread now with gluten-free flour, more or less, how much of yeast? You put the same amount yeast? You reduced your yeast?
No, you use the same amount.
Same amount, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Then also Sister Safira says, make chocolate with cocoa powder and coconut oil and dates. Yes, dates is actually very nutritious as well. And you get cocoa powder and coconut oil as well. So I think, you know, I think you need to go on to recipes. You need to try and test them out as well and what suits you best.
And then, of course, you've got to take into consideration the taste or the likes and dislikes of the person that you're cooking for.
Absolutely, yes. And you've got to see, what works for you and what doesn't work for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then... do you feel it's better, Aunt Java, if you cook your food or you grill it? I think grilling would be better. And then maybe you can sprinkle olive oil or your avocado oil as well.
One way of preparing some of the grilled or the baked products with gluten-free is to, like, for example, you're using chicken fillet.
Yes.
You can dip it in oil and then dip it in your crumbs. And then you can bake it. The crumbs meaning using quinoa flakes, or you can use oat crushed meal, or you can use gluten-free breadcrumbs.
All right, okay. And Java, when it comes to frying food, you know, gluten-free oils, what advice would you share with the listeners on frying foods?
You can use the coconut oil.
Right.
It's very good for frying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit expensive, though, so you've got to, you know, make sure that when you're trying something out, we don't want to have a flop, because the gluten-free products are quite expensive.
Okay.
So I advise that you make half recipe, and when you're halving the recipe, you must have every ingredient with it.
Right, okay. And then, so if you're going to be frying, you can use, like you said, Antiava, you can use the coconut oil. And it
olive oil.
Olive
also.
Oil, yes, but you're going to do quick frying as well, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. And then baking gluten-free biscuits and breads, you know, does it bake, for how long would you leave it in the oven? Does it bake quicker? Does it bake, take long to bake?
It takes slightly longer, and you can bake it until it is golden brown, etc. And then, of course, the aroma will also tell you when the product is ready. And you can test it like you would test a normal cake that you're baking with a skewer to see whether it's baked or not.
Right. And then also another tip, they said gluten-free dough sticks stronger to your hands and utensils. So it is recommended to coat the cake tins with baking paper and to grease or flour your hands when working the dough. In case of a short pastry, it helps to roll out the dough between two layers baking paper as well. Okay,
yeah.
I think we spoke enough about gluten-free, gluten intolerance. And Java, tell us, why is it important to leave a bowl of vinegar next to your stove?
That one I didn't check.
Okay. Well, I'll share that with the listeners as well. That's
thank
our
you.
Cooking tip of the week as well. Let me just go into that tip as well for you. Sorry about that. Okay. So it's quite important to keep a bowl of vinegar next to your stove as well, because sometimes you're making something so nice and you can happen just to burn. If you may be braising, you know, some people actually like their food a bit more burnt, like you're making binda. I won't say burn, you can't eat it. It's nice to just braise it, and different people like their food cooked differently. So if you have that tip as well, here's another tip for us. The acetic acid in vinegar neutralizes alkaline odors, which means it can help get rid of the cooking smells cheaply and easily as well. And then some people make a diluted solution of vinegar and keep it in a spray bottle to mist around the room. So for instance, if you made something like roasted cauliflower or fried fish, and or even roasting Brussels sprouts and butternut, and it burnt a bit in the oven, so a good squirt of vinegar will remove that smell as well. And then end off today's program, Antihava, they say washing dishes is very therapeutic. A study found that washing dishes mindfully could be therapeutic, increasing feelings of well-being and decreasing anxiety. Exact. They say the simple act of washing dishes could actually encourage a state of mindfulness, which has been linked to improved well-being, reduced levels of stress, and even it also boosts your immune system. It's a great stress lever. And we'd like to end off with that for in today's program as well. And
just one more tip.
Yes, to Aunt Java.
Taking tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
To store tomatoes, store it with the stem facing downwards, and give it a longer shelf life.
All right. And Sister Sophia says that all oil is gluten-free. So it actually good to know that as well, especially when it comes to frying our things. And I think the perfect thing, if you gluten intolerance, then put your stuff in an air fryer as well. It's more healthier indeed.
More healthier.
Okay. Well, that's where we end off today's program as well. Jazakallah to all those who WhatsApp as well. The sister actually WhatsApped me those recipes as well. I will be putting it up onto my Instagram page as well. You can follow me at Amara_Mullah. Jazakallah to our engineer, to my producer Mumtaz, to Auntie Hava, and to our guest Sister Safira Bismillah. From myself, Amara, and Auntie Hava, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.